hand before you know what you're getting into?
I mean, I'd love that. For a simple task, just to pray. Just to pray for us. David? Oh, wait, Richard, did you want to? Wait, oh, was your hand raised? I didn't know if you were... No, if you want to, I thought you were slowly lowering your hands. Okay, can you ask me later?
Yeah.
Or is it really important right now?
No, I'll ask you later.
Okay, ask me later. All right, David, pray for us.
Lord, I thank you for bringing us all together tonight. I pray that you're with us during this time, Lord, and I pray that you help us learn and help us to grow with you, Lord. Be here with us in this time as we pray and we glorify you, Lord, and I pray that your hand is just over us during this time. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, David. All right. I just have 1, 2, 3 verses, 2.5 verses, really, that I'm going to read today from Isaiah, from the book of Isaiah. Anyone know anything about the book of Isaiah? I might remember some things, but does anyone know? Yeah.
There's a bunch of prophecies about Jesus.
What's a prophecy? Anyone else? Sean? Anyone? Oh, wait, Richie. Yeah, let's give Richie a shot.
Yes, like... A prophecy is like a way of, I don't know, a way of doing something that has to be done this way.
A way of doing something that has to be done this way. Okay.
That could make sense.
I think I understand what you're saying. So like someone who maybe prophesies is going to say, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Kind of. And it's going to be done this way.
I guess.
Okay. Did you want to add more?
No.
Okay. That's a great thought. Yeah, Zaire. I saw you kind of raising your hand. Yeah. Yeah, I got you. What is a prophecy? What does a prophet do? Besides prophesy. Sure. What's prophecy? What does a prophet do? Any of those questions? What's a prophet? Someone who spreads the gospel. Okay. Okay. All right. Sure. Anyone else? Yeah, David.
Well, they kind of like predict the future in a way, but like give a warning through it.
Yeah. Yeah, there is kind of prediction of the future. And even more than that, it's true that prophets talk about what's going to happen in the future. But even more than that, the majority of most prophets, what they talk about, a lot of time we think about prophecy as being something in the future, but a lot of the time what prophets are doing in the Bible is they're calling out what's happening right now with the people who they're speaking to. So like Isaiah shows up to God's people and he says, there is a lot of bad stuff going on with you, a lot of bad stuff. You are, you're not taking care of the widow and the orphan. You're actually oppressing them. You're actually doing injustice. You're not doing justice. You're so far away from God's heart and from God's commands. And that's what Isaiah is actually doing. And actually, Isaiah predicting the future of prophecy, it's there. But really, the main thing that Isaiah is doing throughout the book is he's calling out Israel for the ways that they are failing to love God and love those around him. And so that's a big part of what a prophet does. I think a lot of time we do think about the future and prophecy being like, oh, like maybe if you meet someone today and they walk up to you and they're like, hey, I really see a new car in your future. You know, God told me you're going to get a new car. Some of us might call that prophecy. But a big part of, bigger part of a prophet's job was to call out the injustice of God's people, the injustice that God's people are doing when they were on the wrong path, when they're in the wrong way. So we have Isaiah calling out the people, the Israelites. And he was an Israelite himself. So he was calling out himself as well, which is kind of ironic, right? God sends someone to their own people to go call their own people out. And not like, hey, go call these other people out. But that's also something significant, is that God sends most prophets. There's like Jonah or Nahum, but most prophets go to their own people and call them out. They're looking internally, not externally at everyone else, but they're looking at their own community. All right, so here, we're still doing a series on righteousness. This may be our last week, depending on next week, all right? Yeah, I know. Because then we're going to move in and we're going to go through the book of Jonah for a few weeks. Ooh, Jonah was another prophet. And he actually went to not the Israelites, but to the Assyrians. So we're going to look at a passage where Isaiah is speaking about the seriousness of sin. Okay, and we're gonna think about this. What does it really mean to what makes an action good? Okay, what makes something good? What makes something that we do actually good? All right. So here we go. I'm going to read Isaiah 64:5, the second half of verse 5 through verse 7. All right. Here we go. Listen to this. Isaiah says this, talking to the Israelites. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? See, Isaiah's using the language we. See, he's like including himself in these people. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf. And our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. All right. First, let's look at how these few verses talk about the seriousness of sin. Okay. Sin is opposed to righteousness, right? Sin is a failure to love God and to love those around us. Where righteousness is actually, being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus. Okay. And perfectly loving God and loving those around us. All right, so what makes sin so serious? Okay, first, sin is persistent. Okay, here's what Isaiah says in verse 5. Behold, you are angry and we sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time. Isaiah's like, we've been here for a long time, and sin has, we haven't stopped sinning. Actually, Isaiah's a unique book because Isaiah's kind of split up into a lot of commentators or smarter people than me. They split Isaiah up into three books. And some people, it's kind of a commonly believed that the third part of Isaiah is actually written after the Israelites were conquered. So Isaiah predicts that Israel, he says, Israel, you're going to be conquered by the Assyrians. They're going to come and conquer you. And he says that in the first, I forget if it's 20-something chapters, okay? And now here we are in the 64th chapter, and it's actually after the Assyrians have been conquered. And I think even as they're going to rebuild their temple, this king has kind of conquered the Assyrians at this point and said, okay, Israel, you can go rebuild your temple. And so this is after. This is years and years later, and Isaiah says this, in our sins we have been a long time. So he knows that however many years ago, many, many years ago, we were sinners, and still we're sinners. Behold, we are in our sins a long time. Sin is persistent, so it's serious, okay? And then in verse 6, okay, sin hinders us from being present with God, okay? Because it says this, we have all become like one who is unclean, okay? In the Israelites' time, in the Old Testament, they would make sacrifices for themselves so that they could be clean, okay? So there are all sorts of things that would maybe make someone unclean, like touching. And it wasn't always like something morally wrong necessarily. It could have been like coming into contact with blood might make someone unclean, or maybe touching someone who was sick. Those things aren't morally wrong, but they would still make someone unclean. And then also other things would make someone unclean. And the Israelites would have to go and make sacrifices to God, with a lamb or a goat or something, to sacrifice to God so that they could be made clean again. And if you were unclean, you couldn't actually enter God's presence, is what the Israelites believed. You couldn't actually enter God's presence without becoming clean, without sacrificing something. And Isaiah says, we have all become like one who is unclean. So if we're like one, if Isaiah is saying that we're all like one who is unclean, it means that it hinders us from the presence of God. Because that's what the uncleanness does, right? It actually doesn't allow you to go into the presence of God, is what Isaiah and the Israelites understood at this time when this was written. And then here, sin affects our motivations, okay? Even though we might do good things, it affects our motivations. Here's what it says. All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. So even the righteous things, Isaiah's like, even the righteous things that you do, they're polluted. They're tainted. They're still messy. They're not perfect. Even the righteous things you do, they're messy. All right. And then let's see, it's in verses 6b or 6 and 7. Sin actually hurts us and it deteriorates us, okay? We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away, okay? There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. Isaiah talks about sin, the result of sin being fading away or melting, deteriorating, all right? It actually leads to death or to unhealthiness, to unwholeness, all right? So we've been talking about righteousness, all right? So we're going to focus on one thing, okay? How sin actually affects our motivations, all right? But I don't want to talk too much about this because I have a series of questions for you guys, all right? I'm going to give you guys a scenario, and you have to tell me, raise your hand and explain to me, is the scenario that I told you, is it a good action or a bad action, okay? All right, so a group of us are going to go to Atlantic City in the summer. So imagine we go to Atlantic City, okay? And we serve in a food kitchen, and we serve passing out food to people who maybe don't have enough food, all right? And while we're there, we take a bunch of pictures, and we come home, and we post all the pictures online. And we're like, served in Atlantic City, really transformational week, loved serving God and people, something like that. Good action or bad?
Good.
Why, David?
Because your intentions aren't bad. You're not doing it to get anywhere. You're doing it to show that you're praising the Lord.
Okay. Why do you need to show you're praising the Lord? I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Don't worry. I'm not saying you're wrong. Why do you need to show that you're praising the Lord in that way? Wait, sorry, say it again.
You're saying that
yeah, you know what? I'm confused.
He's playing his own devil's advocate.
Okay, so you would say it's good because you're not doing it for fame, but you're just doing it to show even the posting it is like, oh, just showing people that I'm praising God.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, I hear. Sure. Okay. Yeah. So if it's like so posting it could be good if you're like trying to spread awareness for a cause or if you're praising God or okay. So anyone else? I got some more scenarios, so don't worry. All right. Good. All right. There's no right or wrong answers here. I actually love how you guys, you pointed out some nuance here. Okay. All right. Here we go. Your parents ask you to take the trash out before morning. Okay. You get home today. Your parents are like, Caleb, I know this is your sister's job, but you got to take the trash out today before the morning, all right? And you don't want to, okay? You don't want to take the trash out, but you take it out because you're afraid of the consequences if you don't. So is it good? Good action? Bad? Could be better? Yes, Sebastian?
I think it's in the middle.
Why is that?
Because it's good because you're doing it, but like bad because you don't want to. You're just scared of what will happen.
Okay, so it's good because you're doing it. You're doing what your parents asked you. But the motivation is out of fear, and that's not necessarily a good motivation. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Agree? Disagree?
I agree.
You could say I concur. I think that means agree, right? Concur.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Yeah. So say I concur.
I concur.
Okay. Good boy. All right. All right. So we'll move on to the next one. All right. No wrong answers here. Okay. You know it's good, okay? You know that it's good to come to church on Sunday, okay? You hear everyone tell you, oh, yeah, it's good to come to church on Sunday. But you wake up this Sunday, okay? This Sunday you wake up and you're really tired, okay? You're like, oh, man. But you feel guilty, though, for not going, so you decide to go. All right, so you're like, okay, I know it's good to go to church. Wake up, you're like, oh, man, I'm so tired. But I feel guilty if I don't go. You get up and go.
It's still good.
Yeah, it's still good.
Still good? Okay, why?
And if you don't go,
okay.
If you go and you're like, I'm going to go anyway, I'm going to actually go there.
Okay.
I don't want to.
Okay. But here you're going because you feel guilty.
And you're going so, you
don't not because you want to learn.
So you don't actually care yet?
Huh?
So you don't actually care yet?
No. Not this morning.
That's fine.
It could still be good. I'm just clarifying the situation. I'm just clarifying your feelings in this hypothetical situation. All right. Zaire? Wait, were you still talking, David?
No.
Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry, Zaire. I'm interrupting everyone.
I think it's
Okay, so even if you go because you feel guilty, it's still better than not going at all. Okay, all right. Which is what you were getting at, kind of? Yeah, you concur?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, Alec, yeah? Oh, I thought you had your hand raised. You're just fixing your hair, your beautiful hair. All right, I got one more for you, okay? Oh, here we go. Your friend, okay, everyone think of your friend, maybe one of your besties, all right? I'll think of Cass. Your friend comes up to you, and they share something really difficult in their life that's going on, okay? They share with you something really difficult going on in their life. And you really want to care for them, and you really want to encourage them, all right? And you want to motivate them, so you offer some Bible verses to them, okay, to encourage them. But then they actually communicate, and they're like, you know what? I actually feel really misunderstood and kind of just like you're preaching at me. Okay, so like your intentions were good, right? You're like, okay, I know some Bible verses that will really encourage this person. But really, really what they needed was just to be listened to, and they felt misunderstood in the end and just kind of preached at. What do we think? You're saying it's good because your intentions were good?
Yeah, I was going to say it's good because your intentions were good. Maybe like next time you can learn something.
Okay, so it's good, but you can learn from it. Sebastian?
That's basically
okay. More in the middle. So David's like, it's good. You're more like here. Okay. Yeah, Grace?
I'm also scratching my
hair. Everyone's fixing their hair today.
I concur.
You concur? Anyone else disagree? Yeah, Cameron? All right. James? What do you think?
I think it was fine, but
cool. All right. Cool. All right. Okay, good. Okay, some of those we kind of had a general consensus. You guys all agreed on. Some of them, there was a little bit of like difference. So what actually makes an action good? What makes something good? Intentions behind it. Okay. Anyone disagree? Okay. So, let's see. What if this happens? Okay. This has happened probably. All right. So, I go home today and Cass is tired. Okay. She worked and today, and she took care of Junia, and she fed Junia, and Junia gets messy when she eats because she's a messy eater. Someone's got to teach her how to eat clean. And then Cass has to give her a bath, has to feed her, put her down. Okay, so Cass is exhausted, okay? And I come home, and I'm just like, oh, Cass, I want to tell you all about my night at youth group. Like, it was so good, and I talked to her. And I'm just like so excited to share with her, okay? I'm so excited to share with her about all the excitement that's going on, okay, of the night. And at the end, Cass just looks kind of more tired, okay? And she's like, maybe even as excited as I was and as my intentions were like good because I was excited to share with my wife about my awesome day, at the same time, I kind of made her more exhausted and like made it less restful for her at the end of the day. What do you guys think about that? Okay. So you still think it's good? Because my intentions were good. Okay. What's going on over here? Well, what if, yeah, Sean?
I feel like what you're getting at is really, like, do the ends justify the means?
Sure.
It's like, does, like, your motivation, or I would say, like, your why, does that like justify the what or the thing you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say the why or the motivation behind something will always influence what you do, but not the other way around. So like, for example, like with the issue of like going to church, even though you don't feel like it, I don't feel it's like, well, it's like, why are you going to church then? It's like, if you don't really want to be there.
But Sean, what about like, this? What if you go to church that day and something happens at church in the community and you're like, oh man, like I'm actually being changed. I want to be here. And the next week you show up. Because also there's like something too, like the more you practice something, even when you don't want to, like you actually change to it. And you actually are kind of transformed in your desires, right? To be in those places too. I'm just playing devil's advocate here again. Don't worry.
And I'd say like in that case, it's like, oh, well, maybe you did really want to be there. Like
from the start?
Yeah. Or like a part of you really did want to be there. Maybe in your head you're like, oh, I'm tired, I want to go to sleep, but like really like deep down, it's like, oh, you did really want to go there.
Okay. Okay. Oh, Michelle.
So I think sometimes even if an intention is pure and good, if it's not received in that way, is it fully good? Then are we meeting that person where they are at? Right? And so that becomes in question as well. Is it good only for the person giving the message, but not good for the person receiving it?
Yeah. And I love everything that all of you said, because I think it shows something, okay? There's one basic truth or one basic thing that we can take out of all this. Good is complicated, okay? When a lot of time when we say something is good, when we say an action is good or bad, we probably need to think about it in a more nuanced way or complicated way, and seeing the good in it and the bad in it. And or the ways that it comes up short, or maybe the ways that someone else might not just perceive it as bad, but actually it might be bad to someone else, a good thing that we do, and vice versa. Yeah, David.
I was just going to say, I think that's where the good that comes from. Those things come from like the will of God, because His will is perfect and is always good. Because if you follow like religion and stuff, their ways might not always be good. Because even like certain religions, not even to go here, but like they go into like these crazy beliefs where like you have to even like kill people to go to heaven. And they go on these crazy extents. So obviously, even though their intentions are pure, that's obviously wrong. But that's where you let the Holy Spirit guide you. And that's where your intentions, once you follow that, will be pure.
Okay. I do want to say one thing. That is true, right? That the Holy Spirit does guide us, right? And we do need to look to God to know what is good. And at the same time, we are all complicated too, right? None of us can perfectly discern what God has to say to us perfectly. And so even as we are trying to discern, and even as we know that we should look to God, it's not like it that is true, but it doesn't always feel, or it's not always that simple as well, right? But that is very true, right? I think it points something, right? Good is complicated, okay? Good is complicated because our desires and our actions, they rarely ever, or not rarely, but sometimes they don't match up, right? Even when our intentions are good, it might not be good for someone else, what we do because of our intentions, or are good for us. Just because the things that we do are good doesn't mean our intentions or motivations are always good. All right. And this is really kind of Isaiah here is kind of pointing out the that sin is complicated. OK, the way that sin complicates life, and sin is complicated because it goes deeper than just affecting our actions or just our motivations. But actually, it's intertwined in both those things. The ways that we fail to love God and love those around us isn't just about our motivations, and it's not just about our actions, but it's both those things. Even when we have good motivations, we might still fail to love God and love those around us. Even when we do something good inside our hearts, and our posture toward these people or other people might still be failing to love them and to love God. And so sin goes deeper. Sin is serious because it goes deeper than just our desires or our actions. It actually affects both, okay? And so let me just finish with one verse, okay? The next verse in Isaiah, it reminds us of something that we need to remember, and kind of what David's getting at. Okay, we need someone actually to step in and to mold us, to make us new. Okay, we need Holy Spirit to come into us and do something that we can't do on our own. Okay, here, let me read verse 8 for you. Okay, this is what Isaiah says after he's talking about sin. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Okay, right after Isaiah talks about the seriousness of sin, that sin runs deep into our actions and into our motivations and into our desires. This is the gospel truth, that God actually is willing to reshape us and to renew us. That God actually shapes us to be like Jesus, free of sin, and where our desires and where our actions are pure and intertwined perfectly. And this is the really cool thing about God recreating us, is that all of us, God is on a mission to recreate all of us so that our desires and our motivations and our actions might be perfectly intertwined like Jesus, might meet in harmony perfectly like Jesus. And that one day, the ways that our sin, our motivations, and our actions fail to love others, and others' motivations and actions fail to love us, that's going to be no more, because God actually is, we are the clay, and God is our potter, and God desires to reshape us and mold us, just like that Sager. All right? Let me pray, and then we'll get into small groups. God, we thank you that you are greater than anything that we could conceive or think of or imagine. You are the creator of the world, and it's amazing because you didn't just create the world and stop creating, but you're actually still creating brand new and fresh in us every day. That as we look around and we see the world not as it should be, and even as we see our lives and our motivations and our actions not as they should be, even when our intentions are pure but they fail to love others or to love you, even when our actions are good but our intentions fail to love others and love you, we trust and we desire for you to shape us, because we are the clay and you are the potter. So would you create in us hearts, desires, and actions that love you and that love others around us, that we might live into the life of righteousness that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.